How to lose more weight by eating more now. Yes, it's possible even for you. This podcast covers how you can actually eat more food, raise your metabolism, regardless of age. And in doing so, many people find they'll actually lose weight. If you'd like to learn how to apply this to yourself, there's a link in the description. Go ahead and click the link, grab a spot, be happy to chat with you. This podcast is brought to you by Small Business to Grow and is part of our Get Fit and Live Healthy series. How to lose more weight by eating more now. Yes, it's possible. So I did a video on this and it was part of what we covered in a previous webinar. It got a lot of comments. It got a lot of likes. It got some knuckleheads to make comments that weren't rooted in science, the typical compete once or twice and become an online coach. But yes, most definitely you can eat more food and lose weight. I'm going to walk you through the nuts and bolts of how that and why that can be possible and why it can be possible for you too. My name is Ray Binkowski. I'm not a physician or a registered dietitian. The contents of this should not be taken as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any health problem, nor is it intended to replace the advice of a physician. Always consult your physician or a qualified health professional on any matters regarding your health. Yes, that's me. I've competed a handful of times. To date, I've promoted 35 or so OCB bodybuilding contests right here in the Midwest. We were the first OCB contest or first OCB promoter of a contest for the OCB outside of on the Eastern Seaboard. So how does somebody end up being able to eat more while losing weight? And the first real client example I'm going to use with you guys, what happened was the client had set a potential time frame to step on stage, and that time frame got changed, and we ended up with more time. So instead of having the set 5 months or so to get ready, we ended up with a couple quote unquote bonus months. And that meant that instead of trying to reduce calories, I was able to increase the amount of food that she was eating. Now, the reason I did this, and I do this routinely for clients in the off season, is we want to be able to start our quote unquote contest prep at a higher caloric intake. So I increased her calories via more carbohydrates because we had a few more months to get ready. And here's how this looked. And then I've got an update. So when I threw this into the initial webinar, we were about 14 weeks out from the contest. And I had increased calories about 950 calories per day, just under 1,000 calories a day. Carbohydrates more than doubled, going from about 142 grams to just under 350 grams of carbohydrates per day. And what happened was the client was, you know, able to go from 128 pounds down to 124 pounds. So we increased her calories 950 calories per day solely from an increase in carbohydrates. And we did bump fat up. So we bumped fat up so that she can enjoy more foods from the standpoint of sometimes if you're limiting your fat, it limits the protein sources you can eat. So instead of just raising the calories solely from carbohydrates, which I would have done, she had asked for more variety in her animal-based protein sources. You know, I want to be able to have not so lean cuts of beef or whatever it might. I want to have chicken thighs. So we created more room in her fat grams to do that. Okay. The take-home point, though, at that 14 weeks out point, she from February to July, I increased her calories by 950 calories per day. And she lost 4 pounds. Now, here's the update. We're 2 weeks later. She's 125 pounds. And a couple weeks ago, I increased her calories by 200 solely from an increase in carbohydrates. So she's eating 396 grams of carbs, 130 grams of protein, 55 grams of fat. And from February to today, she's lost 3 pounds. So she's eating, now she's eating 1,200 calories more than she was initially, and she has lost 3 pounds on the scale. As a married mom of three,
She's not doing any cardio. I want to make that clear. She is not doing any cardio from February until today, the end of August. We've increased her calories by about 1200 and she's lost 3 pounds. So we're setting the stage. And everybody says calories should be going down if you're losing weight. Yet here we are. And this was from 2 weeks ago. Today she's 125 pounds. She's been fluctuating 124, 125. She started at 128 pounds, eating 1200 calories more. Today she's 125 pounds. So starting calories were 1450. Today she's at 2600, which doesn't make sense. It's going to fly in the face of what most of the compete on Saturday for the first time, become an online coach on Monday. How does this happen? Well, there's a couple things. One, activity. Two, metabolism. And three, diet. So how do we end up being able to eat more food while losing weight? And by weight, we're losing body fat. And we know that because the individual is able to lift more weight in the gym. So how do we actually see the scale go down? We're eating more food. Activity, metabolism, and then diet. So physical activity could be, weight training, going for a bike ride, going swimming, doing stuff with your kids, walking more or whatever. But the real activity that matters is heavy weight training. And the reason for that is weight training is going to increase your lean muscle mass. And increasing lean muscle mass, whether you're 18 or 80, okay, contrary to what pop culture will have you believe, whether you're 18 or 80, the only way to increase your metabolism is to increase your lean mass. So if you want to see your metabolism go up, you have to increase muscle mass. The way to do that is with heavy weights, and that is the only way, whether you're 18 or 80, that you're going to see your metabolism increase. So the idea that metabolism declines with age, it's not true. Metabolism declines when we age because we lose muscle mass. And we don't lose the muscle mass because we're older. We lose the muscle mass because we stop doing heavy load-bearing activities. So you got to do your weight training. So back to, how do we see the scale go down? We're eating more. One, the activity. Best activity we can do to make that happen, weight train. Why? Because that has an impact on your metabolism. The only way to maintain or raise metabolism is to lift weights. The next thing, diet. Protein, thermogenic effect of food, TEF. Theoretically, eating protein is going to require more calories to digest protein-based foods than your carbs or your fats. So making sure you get adequate amounts of protein is one, going to provide the amino acids to build lean mass, but two, you're going to burn more calories digesting protein than you will other foods. Now, this isn't going to be like the great, massive opportunity to set your metabolism ablaze. Like, just eating protein is not going to do that, but eating adequate protein throughout the day is going to help you stay in a positive nitrogen balance. It's going to facilitate tissue repair and the ability to build lean muscle mass. So you can't add muscle mass if you haven't repaired the muscle mass you have first. Protein's going to play a role in that. So what's protein? If it was walking, flying, or swimming, it's protein. So most of your animal products will be protein and fat. There won't be any carbs. And then there are going to be some vegetable type proteins. You are going to get some protein from nuts, which I would argue you're going to get more fat than protein from seeds, things of that nature. But for the most part, protein shakes, beef, poultry, fish, eggs, dairy, etc. The next piece, again, tying it back, like, how are we going to lose weight while eating more food? It's going to be your activity, your metabolism, and your diet. There is going to be a slight benefit by eating every couple hours. Now, that being said, if you asked me 25 years ago when I started out doing this, I would say that if you really wanted to maximize your fat loss, you had to eat six small meals a day. You had to eat every 4 hours. Sitting here today, 25 years later, having had the opportunity to work one-on-one in person with thousands of people and online with the same. So I owned a large commercial gym for 12 years. We had a few hundred people a day come through our front door. And for many years, I spent 50 hours or more working one-on-one or in small groups with clients. So from that experience today, 25 years later, having worked with that many people, I can tell you that yes, theoretically, you might burn a little more calories by having more small meals throughout the day. But we saw over the years, plenty of people, because of their job, where they just couldn't eat more than 3 or 4 times a day, they still lost weight. Okay. So, and if you can eat smaller meals more often, yes, theoretically, there's going to be a slight advantage in terms of caloric expenditure, but it's not absolutely necessary. The next thing, stress. If you're not managing your stress, you're going to impair your body's ability to recover. So you have to manage your stress. You have to get enough sleep. If you're not getting adequate quality sleep on a daily basis, it's going to be hard for your body to repair itself. And again, you can't increase muscle mass if the body hasn't repaired the muscle mass you already have. And if you can't increase muscle mass, you're going to miss that opportunity to raise your metabolism. Because again, increasing metabolism raises your metabolic rate. And that's going to be true whether you're 18 or 80, male or female, it doesn't matter. So you've got to make sleep a priority. And this is probably, sitting here today, one of the most missed opportunities by people. It's seldom talked about, just the importance of quality sleep. Everything from your heart rate, your blood pressure, your circadian rhythm, all of those things are extremely important, and we just don't talk enough about them. It's not just getting 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night, it's getting enough quality sleep per night. The next, back to that activity level, doing things interval in nature, and we're going to talk more about this in a minute. Making sure you're doing heavy weight training, that's going to be interval in nature. Making sure that you're measuring your progress. Like, successful people measure things. If you're going to be successful in eating more food and watching the scale go down via a decrease in body fat because you're losing fat mass, you have to be measuring your progress. You need to measure what you're eating. You need to be training in a manner that, allows you to measure and know in black and white why you're better from one workout to the next. That which is measured can be improved. That which is not measured cannot be improved. What gets measured gets done. Again, there's a million cliches that talk about this, but at the end of the day, if you don't know the data, you don't know the numbers, it's going to be really difficult to be successful with eating more food and losing weight, and that weight coming from body fat. Back to the client I mentioned at the beginning, who in February was 128 to eating 1,450 calories. Today, she's eating 2,600 calories. We're about 6 months later. She's down 3 pounds as of yesterday on the scale, and she's eating almost 1,200 calories more. One of the things she's doing, in addition to tracking her food, in addition to measuring her weight, in addition to taking progress pictures, again, those are all things that we're measuring. Okay, they're all data points. She's also using, as an example, one of the tools is a double progressive, which helps make sure from one workout to the next, she's making progress. She's either lifting one more rep, two more reps, three more reps, whatever it might be. She's either getting better from one workout to the next by more reps or more weight. And the double progressive is one of the easiest, simplest ways to make sure that you're making progress from one workout to the next. And this is a tool that will separate you from those that are just working out with weights to those that are training. Like, if you don't know, for example, if you're doing dumbbell bench press and your rep scheme, your rep range is 3 to 8 reps, you should be able to tell me why you are better today after today's workout than when you did that dumbbell bench press in the last dumbbell bench press workout. If you can't tell me by numbers, by real data, why you're better, you're just working out with weights and you're not training. And training is going to tie back to that activity, and that activity that's going to contribute to the ability to eat more total calories while losing weight and having that weight come from fat. So we're going to take this apart as kind of a case study in regards to, okay, well, how is this possible? Like, Ray, how is it that somebody can eat more and have the scale go down? And inevitably, this will invite a conversation of the law of conservation of energy, which some knuckleheads commented on my Instagram posts about thermodynamics. Happy to have a thermodynamics class. Interestingly enough, I took 2 300 level engineering thermodynamics classes in my undergrad. So happy to entertain a discussion of that. And in fact, we're going to include that in this case study. So how can I gain weight and eat more? All right. Well, one, gaining 10 pounds lean mass. We're not saying just mass on the scale, right? We're saying increasing the amount of muscle mass you have. What happens when we gain muscle mass? We raise metabolism. Again, remember, 18 or 80, the only way to increase your metabolism is to gain muscle mass. And if we're weight training 4 to 6 hours per week, okay, so most of my clients, and the example client I used, is probably her workouts are probably 40 to 50 minutes on average. So let's just say 4 to 6 workouts per week, 4 to 6 hours a week of exercise. You're going to burn 300 to 600 calories per training session with weights, which means every week you're going to burn 1,200 to 3,600 calories. Okay. So intense training. We're not saying intensely working out with weights, where when I ask you why you're better this week versus last week on the dumbbell bench press, and you're just like, oh, I lifted more. Okay. Well, lifted more it's not like by what measure, like how much better is that? What does that mean? Intense training means we actually are using something like the double progressive, and we know, okay, last week we used 100 pounds in the dumbbell bench press, set 3, 4, and 5. Let's call sets 1 and 2 a warm up. You did 7 reps on set 3, 5 on set 4, 3 on set 5. Next workout, 100 pound dumbbell bench press, 2 warm up sets, 3 working sets. Set 3, you did 8 reps. You beat last week by reps. Set 4, you did 6. Beat last week, set 4 by reps. Set 5, the third and final work set, you did 5 reps instead of 3. So therefore, in black and white, we know we are definitely better than last time. So intense training, like if you want to eat more and lose weight and you're just putzing around working out with weights, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It needs to be legitimate training. EPOC, exercise post oxygen consumption. So weight training with short rest intervals is somewhat interval in nature. High intensity interval cardio or HIIT is interval in nature. A lot of my first time clients, they ask, like, how come my rest periods are so short? I'm not used to resting 30 to 60 seconds. Why are we doing supersets? I'm not used to not resting this much. How are my workouts only going to be 30 or 40 minutes? My workouts are usually an hour or more. By design, I'm structuring things so that they're interval in nature, so we can capitalize on EPOC, which stands for exercise post oxygen consumption. Why does that matter? Well, EPOC, if we're training in a way to maximize or take advantage of this, we end up burning calories during the workout, obviously, but we burn calories at an increased rate for the next 12 to 36 hours. So by design, oftentimes I'm structuring a client's training program so that we can capitalize on this, so we can get every drop of juice from the squeeze. And you know that this is why you can burn calories in 20 minutes that rival what you would burn with low intensity, steady state walking for maybe 40 or 50 minutes. Okay, so EPOC, you end up burning more calories for for the next 12 to 36 hours. Again, why can we eat more and lose weight from body fat, losing pounds from fat? We're burning more calories for the next 12 to 36 hours after we're done doing our exercise. Additional muscle mass at the low end, an extra 420 calories per week. At the high end, an extra 700 calories per week. And what this means that if, let's say that you gain 10 pounds of lean mass, that can mean that you burn an extra 340, 350, 390, 400 calories per day. So if we do that 7 days a week, seven times 400, the easy math is 2,800 calories burned. Okay, so this is, so we're creating a larger engine, that's going to burn more fuel. That fuel is calories. There are 3,500 calories in 1 pound of fat. So as we're doing these things, we're setting up the situation where we can burn more and more food. Now, all that's fine and dandy, but law of conservation energy says energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So if we're eating more calories, how is it the scale is going down? Because those calories we eat, well, they have to go somewhere. If we start with 1,000 calories, we end with 1,000 calories. The current understanding of the laws of physics, this is part of the foundation for thermodynamics, which the peanut gallery on social media probably doesn't understand, but 1,000 calories in, 1,000 calories out. If I eat more, I gain more. Maybe. And this is where the energy is going to be used for something else. Energy can't be created nor destroyed. So the calories in must be equal to calories out. So when we look at the calories out, building a larger muscle in and of itself will be more metabolically demanding. More muscle mass burns more calories at rest. More muscle mass doing more intense work, okay, burns more calories. So that's extra calories being consumed are not just going to be stored. Those extra calories being consumed are going to be used to do work. And that work is moving heavy weights that is also going to produce heat because you also sweat. So it's not that we're eating extra calories and sitting around. We're eating extra calories and we're building a larger engine that burns more fuel. So in a nutshell, that's how it works. So if you've got, and most of us today have a four or six cylinder combustion engine vehicle, I'll leave the EV folks out of the discussion. Okay. Most people have a rather fuel friendly, gets decent gas mileage engine in your automobile. And you probably, if you keep your right foot off the floor, you probably get decent fuel economy somewhere around 20 miles per gallon. Now, if you have a big block, eight cylinder gasoline engine like in the image, you might only get 3 to 7 miles per gallon. Okay, so that bigger engine burns more fuel. So, yes, absolutely, we're following the law of thermodynamics. Yes, absolutely, we're eating more calories, but we're using those more calories to do more work. And that is why it's not just a matter of, well, how are you saying you can eat more and lose weight? We're doing more work. We're lifting heavier weights. We've gained more muscle mass. We've done the one thing that 18 or 80 will allow us to maintain, yet alone increase metabolism. So that's in a nutshell it. Like we're building a larger engine. We're doing more work with that engine. And that is why eating more calories doesn't mean the scale goes up. Now, there's a big problem for most people. Most of you that are attending live and are watching later on demand, most of you are perpetually at a deficit. Most of you are already abusing cardio. Most of you are not setting your body up where it's just this massive engine happy to burn fuel, and that fuel's being calories. Most of you in the off season, you're on a perpetual yo-yo pre-contest diet. You're never eating enough. I see this all the time. Like, I'll have clients that want to build a house, right? You can't frame the house or the structure if you don't have 2x4s. Like, if you don't have the lumber, you can't build the structure. So if you have the employees, the labor, the workers, the carpenters, the trades folks, whatever, you have all the 2x4s, you can build the structure. If you don't have the 2x4s, and this is my attempt to Photoshop out all of the lumber in the photo, you just have the person and nothing's going to change. You will never, never go and build that engine that's going to burn a lot more calories by doing a lot more work, by lifting heavier weights, by increasing muscle mass. So that's how it works in a nutshell. So the opportunity is, how do we do that? One, in the off season, make sure you have the lumber. Don't do this. Two, if you're looking at starting prep and you have 7, 8, 9, 10 months and you're already relatively lean, try and bump your calories up and get a baseline, right? Don't go right into cut, 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 cut. If you do have to add cardio, only add it as needed. Too much cardio will start to cut into the lean mass. And again, the only way to increase metabolism is to gain lean mass. And cardio does not, remember what I said, the only way to increase muscle mass is to lift weights. And okay, we can have an argument and say, well, what about anaerobic training for sprinters? Well, all right, most of y'all aren't sprinters, but yes, if you do sprint type training, the muscles of the lower body are going to get bigger. Okay, that's fine. But you got to do the training that's going to build the muscle mass, and you have to provide the lumber so that you can build the structure. If you don't have the lumber, your structures that could look like this is going to look like this. And at that point, I'll open it up for Q&A. You guys have questions about any of this? I mean, I gave you a real client live in real time that we're doing this right now. She went from 1,450 calories a day at 128 pounds body weight on the scale to 2,600 calories per day and 125 pounds as of this week on the scale. And she did that in, I got to do the math, 5, 6 months. And we are just now looking at her contest being in right around 3 months. We're probably going to start shifting gears and start to make some slight decreases in her daily caloric intake. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it. And I can't hammer this point enough for those of you, like, if you want, like, if you've competed and the judge is like, you've got to bring up XYZ body parts. Like, I have a bikini competitor right now. Judge's feedback from last contest season was better glutes and hamstrings. So yes, we're going to provide the training for the better glutes and hamstrings. But if you don't have the lumber, even if you got the labor, if the labor has no lumber, your house is going to look like this. There won't be a house. Like, you have to eat the food. If you're not going to eat the food, forget about it. As always, I'll hang out as long as you guys have questions. Most people will deny this is possible. I've seen it over and over again in the last 25 years. So these things do happen. The science is there. We're not violating the rules of thermodynamics. We're actually leveraging them. We're building a larger engine that's doing more work, which is why you can consume more energy, calories, and actually see a decrease in the scale via loss of body fat. And that body fat change is going to be evident by pictures. And that's why, that which is measured can be improved. And part of what we're measuring, and part of one of the tools we're using, is capturing photos via progress pictures so we can see what's happening. Jess, I mean, I would try and see a 0.5 pound to 1 pound every week or two increase on the scale. And if I'm not, again, that which is measured can be improved. If I'm not seeing that increase, half pound or pound every 1 to 2 weeks, somewhere we need to make an adjustment. Now, that being said, I favor being scientific in adjustments, meaning I don't want to manipulate more than one variable at once. So I'm probably either going to make an adjustment training wise or adjustment food wise. But more often than not, when people are struggling to gain weight, they're not eating enough. And typically, they're not eating enough carbs. And a lot of folks that have competed a few times are scared to death to eat more carbohydrates. They're stuck at a carb number, and for them to eat more, they just won't. It's like pulling teeth. But one variable at a time should be adjusted and manipulated. And if I'm not seeing that half to 1 pound increase on the scale every 1 to 2 weeks, then I'm probably going to make an adjustment of one variable. And keep in mind, you know, that being said, if you're not seeing progress, don't keep doing what you're doing, right? Do something different. But I would keep that something to one change. The other crazy thing is, and we do this with clients, that ironically, most clients, once they're done stepping on stage, they'll disappear for 1 to 4 weeks. But in an ideal world, we get off stage, we eat whatever we want that night, eat whatever we want first half of the next day, and then we get on some type of plan and we gradually increase calories. And it's not uncommon. Like, I have a female bikini competitor right now that is older, middle age, I would say. She's eating just under 3,000 calories a day and she's not getting fat. I have a male client competed early summer, early midsummer. He's already up to around 4,000 calories a day. And to put things into perspective, like, if you're eating 4,000 calories a day, you could eat an entire frozen, just as an example, okay, an entire frozen cheese pizza and still have a few thousand calories left per day. That means there's a lot of things that you can do food-wise. And, like, for example, you can go to the bar in restaurant and you can have appetizers and have what other people are eating and one or two beers, and you're not going to go over on your calories, but you got to get to the point where you can eat more, and most people won't. Jess, you can't go off just pictures. The scale needs to go up. And that's like, when we look at the data points, when I'm working with a client, and that's not just a client. Like, I worked with a national champion that races motocross this past late spring, early summer. Like, we're gonna look at performance. How are you doing in the gym for them? Performance in their sport, motocross. We're gonna look at the scale and we're gonna look at what they're eating. So for as a physique competitor, Jess, we should be looking at the scale. The number, it should be the same scale, same day a week, same time of day. We're going to be looking at the pictures, because if the scale's going up, I want to know if you're starting to look sloppy. Because if you're starting to look sloppy, the scale might be going up too much. And I'm also going to want to know what's going on in the gym. So I'm going to need to look at what your numbers are in the gym. And ideally, we get on the phone or we get on a Zoom call and we talk about, Jess, how's it going with the food? How do you feel you're looking? And then how are you doing in the gym? And that's even like going into a contest, I will ask my clients, say, quote unquote, peak week. I don't want to just see what they look like, see what they weigh, see what they're eating. I want them to tell me how they feel they look. So yes, how you look matters, but that's just one data point that is important in regards to whether or not you're making progress. And in the off season, you are going to gain a little body fat for natural athletes. Athletes on drugs, it's a different ball game. It's a different set of rules. They may not say that it is, but it's a different set of rules. But you should be looking at this scale. If the scale is not going up, like, how are you measuring picture progress? Like, what's the metric? What's the measuring device? You think you look better? I mean, it should be, I think I look better and the scale has gone up and I'm lifting more weight in the gym, not just how you look. I like measuring this stuff. There's nothing or very few things that are improved without measurement, period. Your step count's a constant, so you can take your step count and throw it right out the window. That's useless, because for the exactly what you said, my step count can't go down. So that is going to be a constant. That's not even something we talk about. So if I have clients that are nurses and they're walking a hospital floor and they're working 312s or whatever the work schedule is, unless they get a new job or a new position, that doesn't change. That's a constant. We don't talk about it. Yeah, for things to go up, you got to eat more. This is like I would get high school and collegiate athletes would come in with their parents and they would be like, my son is a graduating senior. He's got Division I schools interested in him, but they say he's got to gain X amount of weight by this date. I'm like, why do you need to eat more? And then the parents would say, well, he can eat an entire pizza. Well, unless he's eating a pizza 3 times a day, he's not eating enough. Like he absolutely has to eat more food. And in your case, same deal. Like if you want things to go up, you got to eat more. Liv, what is Anvilar? If you mean Anavar, which is an anabolic steroid, hell no, it's not necessary. Here, look at it. You do not. So every one of the competitors in this image is 100% drug-free and drug-tested at the time these pictures were taken. The majority of these competitors are middle-aged. None of them took performance-enhancing drugs, and there's a handful of drug-free pros in this image. So no, you do not need Anavar. And if you have a coach telling you that you need Anavar, run, because they are wrong. And I've been doing this for 25 years, and I can show you pictures. Now, I could probably spend the next hour showing you progress pictures of clients that did not take drugs. You do not need Anavar. Stay away from the coaches and trainers that say everybody's doing it because they're not. Look at the picture that I just shared. I have two female clients right now. Ironically, bikini clients are most likely to fail a drug screening on the drug-free side of the sport. I have two female clients right now that had coaches slash trainers formerly that were telling them the only way they can build a physique is to take drugs. Now they're working with me. They look better than they were with that coach, and they're not taking drugs. So you do not need to take performance-enhancing drugs. When you get things right, same competitor. Think the photos, I think they're a year apart. On the left, he didn't work with me. On the right, he did. So he was bigger and leaner. And look at the definition and the lines in his hamstrings and glutes. No drugs. Drug screen to prove it. As long as you guys have questions. Jess, if you ever want to, like, because this has come up now a few times, if why don't you hop on a Zoom or hop on a telephone call with me? Let's talk about what's going on because you should be making progress. You've been at this for a while. So, yes, 100% you can eat more and lose more weight. It's possible. Showed you guys a real example, and I can show you a number of other ones. I got three, four, five. I've got one. Well, now that I think about it, I've got one of a female in her 30s. I've got one in her 40s, one in her 50s. And I got one in her 60s. So we can do lots of that. All right. With that being said, if there's no more questions, I'm going to go ahead and end the webinar. All right. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you at the next one.